What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the Fast and Flow podcast. I'm your host, Fast and Flow, otherwise known as Catherine Kelly, your running bestie, a New York City-based long-distance runner and certified personal trainer and soon-to-be certified running coach. And I also work in corporate strategy at a fitness company, so we are all things fitness over here. Today is a bittersweet episode. It's the last episode of 2023, and it's also going to be my last podcast episode for a while. So let's actually just get into it. This podcast episode is going to be all about running and standard dietary recommendations not really applying to runners, and how when I was younger, I kind of got stuck in trying to adhere to standard dietary recommendations. For example, 2,000 calories per day, limit your sodium intake, limit your sugar intake, and things like that. And I want to talk about that in this episode because I think breaking free of those healthy, you know, recommendations for an average person who's not totally moving around a lot, breaking free of that has actually helped me running. And when I was trying to adhere to those dietary recommendations, it was really hurting my running and my performance. So I think it's important to talk about. The reason I'm making this podcast episode actually is because I got a bunch of comments on the Instagram that I posted about this saying they wanted an entire podcast episode on it. And I thought that was a fantastic idea. So that's what the episode's going to be about. But just to give you a little update on where I am at and why this is going to be the last podcast episode for a while. So you guys know in the past few months, I've gotten really busy. My job has gotten really, really busy. I'm taking on a ton of responsibility at my corporate job, which is awesome. I really feel like I'm making a big impact there, and I can actually see I'm going on 5 years of being in the corporate world. Previously, I was in investment banking. Now I work in corporate strategy at a fitness company, and I love my job. And it's something that I've always dreamed about doing, and I actually am able to have a really big impact here because we have a small team and it's still a startup, and that's something that's really important to me and I really love doing it. I love working in finance, but I also love a lot of other things, and sometimes I just get super excited and I start a bunch of things at once without really thinking about if I have enough time to do those things. So as you could probably tell, over the past couple months, I've just been really busy, not sleeping enough, and I am really taking this week between Christmas and New Year's to reflect on what I want my life to look like in 2024 and beyond. And something that keeps coming to mind is actually reducing the number of things I'm doing, but pouring my heart and soul into every single thing that I do, rather than spreading myself too thin, burning the candle at both ends, not getting enough sleep, and just feeling like I'm constantly sprinting just to keep up with my own life. At the end of the day, I love every single thing that I do right now, and so it's really sad to have to take some things off my plate. But I just made the determination that I can only have so many focuses at once, and starting 2024, right after this break, I'm going to get into a very heavy year of running training, which makes me incredibly excited. I want to go sub 90 and a half. I want to actually try to get, you know, maybe 87 minutes and a half. That would make me feel really good going into Chicago in the fall. I really want to hit a 305 at Chicago in the fall. I do want to hit a sub 3. I'm not sure if it's going to be this year. My body's kind of going to tell me as I start going down my new training blocks, but really rigorous running goals that I am so, so, so painfully excited about. Honestly, like, this stuff gets me jacked up. I always get so excited to hop on and start a new running goal. I haven't done any structured training for 2 months at this point. Still probably going to give myself another 2 weeks before I get really into structured training, but I'm just so excited to get back to having a structure with running and training for really hard goals. However, I do think it's really, really important to take breaks from it, which is what I've done for the past 2 months. I know some people come back to structured training way faster than 2 months, but kind of the end of the year was a good time for me, since I'm not doing a spring marathon as well, to just really take a reset. And I'm really, really happy that I did that. I can feel myself itching to get back to training, which is a really great place to be. And so that's going to take up a lot of my time. I am somebody who, like, I really go for it when I go for my training. You guys know, obviously I share it all on Instagram, but I don't shy away from, like, really, really working hard and putting in a lot of hours, a lot of miles, a lot of work, all the strength work, all the recovery, you know, going to run clubs and doing the social events. It's a huge part of my life, and that takes up a ton of time. It's truly a part-time job. Like, that probably takes up 20 hours a week. especially when you think about making the content that's related to that. Social media for me takes up about another 20 hours a week, which is crazy, but you really always do have to be like keeping up with what other people are doing. And especially as I'm starting to get more strategic around wanting to grow my social media, specifically my Instagram account, it's going to take even more time. I already dedicate probably 15 to 20 hours to social media per week. So between running and social media, we already have another full-time job on top of my full-time job, which is a lot, right? It's already like 80 hours for the week. And I routinely do work a lot for my full-time job. It's not a 9-to-5 by any means. It's definitely a lot of work, which I love. I love feeling so connected to the organization and to the mission. And I love feeling like I am actually able to make a big impact. So I love what I do. And I want to be able to also give that its proper attention and time and not be so stressed because I have a million things going on. So that being said, between my corporate job, my social media, specifically my Instagram, I'm really, really focused on growing. I've loved connecting with all you guys on there, and it's truly the platform I feel most connected with you on, and my TikTok, obviously, and then my running training, you know, training for my half marathons, training for Chicago in the fall. That's a full slate. I'm also getting married in June, and I also have a dog, and so you know, I'm the primary caretaker of her. I work from home. Brooke goes to the office every day, so not that it's like so much work, but it is definitely another couple hours a day that I have to be, or not have to be, like, I love her so freaking much. I already miss her. We're in Ohio. We've been here for a few days and I'm already like, where is my Lucy girl? I love her so much from the bottom of my heart. Oh my goodness. But she definitely takes up time, and that's the reality. And wedding planning takes up time, and that's the reality. And, you know, I also want time to be able to relax and not be working all of the time. I'm always someone who's always been working all of the time. So that being said, I have to think about what I can take off my plate, and I definitely am also going to make an Instagram post about this, but just about being okay with quitting things and stopping things and not feeling like you have to continue doing something just to prove a point either to yourself or to other people or to do it to please other people. Like, I am such a people pleaser. I know a lot of women are. I know a lot of people are in general, and it's just not it's not a way that I want to live my life. I don't want to live my life trying to please other people. And sometimes I make mistakes and I make the wrong decision and I have to own up to that and I apologize, but I have to always do what's best for me. And this has been a really illuminating week of just reflecting on the past year and what I want my next year to look like. And there are some things that I'm going to take a step away from. And so one of those things is the podcast. Even though the podcast doesn't take a ton of time to actually record, it is very exhausting. Like, think about having to talk about something for 30 minutes and have something super quality to talk about for 30 minutes, right? Like, I don't just want to talk about something random. I want to, and anything that I post or that I share, I want it to be coming with the ultimate intention of helping people or inspiring people, motivating people, but uplifting people, right? I want it to be like genuine, solid information that's going to help people. And so it does take time. It takes planning. It takes energy. And it's kind of just another thing that I love doing, but it's not my main focus right now. And I do eventually want to come back to podcasting, and who knows how long, maybe it'll just be a couple months. I'm not really sure. But I want to come back with more of an intentional strategy. Basically, when I started my social media accounts, when I started my podcast, nothing had a strategy. It really was just, let's share what I love. And that's great. I've gotten to 30,000 followers on Instagram. Think about 24,000 on TikTok. I've, you know, done the podcast for I think about 40 episodes or so without any strategy, and it's been awesome, and I think it's been just like super off the cuff and super fun for me. But there is a point where I do actually want to turn social media and running and coaching into my full-time job. But that takes a lot of planning, it takes a lot of strategy, and it takes treating it like a business, right? So far I've just really treated everything as just pure fun, which it is, but and it always will be. And when you do something that you love, it literally will never feel like work. Like, how many hours and hours I've spent on social media working so hard. I haven't missed a day of posting in a year and a half, and I don't really get paid to do that, right? Like, that's just purely because it's so joyous to me. I love connecting with you guys. I love sharing it. I will always love that. That's something that comes innately to me. And it's awesome. But in order for me to give even more of myself to it and take it to the level that I want to take it to and impact the people in the way that I want to, it will require me to have more of a defined strategy around it. And I'm so excited about that because the content that I'm going to post is going to be even more high quality. I want to even spend more time reading and learning and getting educated and sharing things that are more impactful that can actually help people more in their training. And I'm so excited about that. But that being said, some things have to step to the wayside. So one of the things is going to be this podcast for a little bit until I can really figure out a more defined way that I want to structure it. The second thing is going to be taking brand partnerships. Not that I've taken too many brand partnerships, but it's amazing that brands want to work with me, and I will forever be grateful for that. It's so cool to have brands send you things and want to try out their product. Again, so immensely grateful. But that's just not something I can focus on right now. It's awesome, but it's taking away a little bit from me just focusing on creating my own content. And because I work a full-time job and I have all these other things, right? And so again, some things have to fall to the wayside. Is it cool to be able to make money off of brand partnerships? Absolutely. But that's not my focus right now. My focus is on building the community with you guys. I want to be able to message back and forth as much as possible with you guys, connect with you guys in the comments, like talk to you guys on my stories. That is my favorite thing to do. And so I just want to eliminate distraction taking away from that. So right now it's really just going to be a focus on upping my content even more, connecting with you guys even more, messaging with you guys even more. And I'm so excited about that. I spent an hour or so this morning going through messages that have just been buried in my hidden messages for some reason. I don't know why Instagram did that. It put a bunch of messages in hidden. So I just discovered them last week and I finally got through all of them. And when I tell you guys, I was literally crying sitting on the couch in Brett's mom's house because these messages were so sweet. There were paragraphs of people just telling me about their year and their training and just how much they've been following along and how much they've really been resonating with me. And that literally brings me to tears. Like, that's why I do what I do. Oh my goodness. Like, I can't even believe it. I can't even believe that, like, you guys actually watch my stuff and listen to me. Like, it's so freaking cool. And I know you know how much work I put into it. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening and supporting me. And it's only going to get better from here. So I really, really appreciate it. Another thing that is unfortunately going to have to fall to the wayside is F45 coaching. I just started coaching a few weeks ago and I absolutely love it. I love the atmosphere in that class. I've always wanted to teach group fitness, but it's just not something I have time for right now. And that's something that's really hard to come to terms with, and also something that's really difficult to tell my manager, but it is what's best for me. And I routinely am working till 11 p.m. or midnight on my corporate job, and I cannot be waking up at 5:30 in the morning. That's truly doing my body a disservice. It's doing my running a disservice. It's just doing myself a disservice. And I really hope I can come back to it once I have more time in my schedule. But I do need to be more intentional about how I'm structuring my schedule. And so that's something else that has to fall off. And am I proud of myself for having to stop or quit this early? No, but it is what it is. So again, this is kind of just the year of me protecting my own peace and being a little bit more intentional. It all comes from a place of me just loving fitness, loving educating people on fitness, loving helping people with fitness, like helping people set goals and motivate themselves. And that is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I love it. I've known that since I was 15. I'm 26 now. Nothing's changed. I don't think anything will change. I just love coaching, teaching. It's so amazing. And I really do hope I can come back to it soon. And I know that I will in some capacity, but it's just not right for me right now. And so I just kind of had to wave the white flag and surrender, and it's okay. It's not easy, but it's okay. And the reason I'm sharing this is because if there are some things that you guys have just been holding on to because you feel like you need to follow through to prove a point, it's okay. You might upset some people, but people know when things are coming from a genuine place, and that's what I'm hoping people will see with this. So yeah, just sometimes taking things off your plate to make way for more of the thing that actually means the most to you at this moment, and being realistic with the time that you have. And so I really am going to pour everything into my Instagram account. And I am so excited again to just connect with you guys even more and follow along your running journeys, post a lot about my running journey next year, and just share even more. I really want to be intentional about that and just putting even more effort into my Instagram. So I know that you guys understand, and thank you for everyone who's messaged me about the podcast and about just anything that you've been following along with. So that's kind of the recap on that. And again, I'll do another post on Instagram about setting 2024 goals and being intentional with that. And there might be a podcast here and there. I'm not saying I'm never going to post a podcast, but just mean like being very regimented about going every single week, I think is not something that I'm going to be doing at this moment, if that makes sense. Okay, so that's a little, you know, just being real with you guys, a little bit heavy, but let's go into the actual meat of the episode, which is talking about running and dietary recommendations. I made a post on this on Instagram, but I basically was saying that standard dietary recommendations do not apply to runners, do not apply to athletes, do not apply to people who are highly active, right? And I think there's so much information out there about nutrition and about just diet, right? Which is important. I'm so glad we're learning so much about, you know, I was just listening to an episode with on the Huberman Lab about ultra processed foods and sugars. And it's so illuminating. I'm only halfway through. I'm like an hour and a half in, but the episode's 3 hours long. His episodes are super, super long, but they are so jam packed. And I had a couple people be like, who has time to listen to episodes that are that long? And it's like, but if it's going to literally change your life, like I will have all the time in the world to be listening to episodes that are going to educate me and change my life and help me be a healthier person and help me live years longer. I do break it up into like 45 minute increments because it's too hard to listen all at once, but so great if you're just going on a walk, if you're going on a jog, driving in the car, whatever you're doing, cleaning, to just put on in a Huberman Lab podcast. I cannot recommend them enough, especially the episodes with Andy Galpin. That's going to be my next binge. All around like fitness. So I'm so excited to do those. But there's a lot of information out there, and there's a lot of conflicting information about there, and there's also a lot of broad standardized information about there. So when there's information that's pertaining to the general American public, you have to keep in mind like who the general American public is, right? It's not people who are training for marathons. That's not standard whatsoever at all for Americans, non-Americans, for everyone in the world. Okay. That is a very exceptional nutritional need that you require when you are training for a marathon. And so you cannot be adhering to standard dietary recommendations. Let's talk about the 2000 calorie diet. I feel like I heard this since I was younger. I don't even know when I first heard it, but I actually think it's on the back of every single food label. It says this is like X percent of your caloric need or your vitamin need or whatever it is, based on a 2000 calorie diet, right? But if you are running, so let's just use my statistics, okay? Because I got this done a few months ago. I got my resting metabolic rate tested and I was at 1640 calories per day, which means if all I did was lay in bed all day, I would burn 1640 calories. Now, everyone's going to be very different depending on your gender, depending on your muscle mass, depending on your age, depending on genetic factors. But just think about that. Even if all I did was lay in bed all day, I didn't use my brain. Because by the way, your brain consumes about 75% of the energy for your body. Like, because think about, it's sending all the electrical signals, right, to your neural pathways in order for you to move, in order for you to think, in order for you to do anything. So your brain consumes most of the energy of your body, right? But let's just say I'm just laying down, I'm not moving, and I'm just staring at the TV. And like, it's just a show that's like pointless, right? I'm like not engaging my brain, I'm not doing anything. I would burn 1640 calories about. None of these tests are extremely accurate, but let's just say that's an average, right? Okay, now let's just think about if all I do that day is just get up and walk the dog. Like all I do is she has to walk in the morning, walk at lunch, and then walk at night, right? And that's all I do. And I just kind of go around my apartment, I make my food, and that's it. That will very, very quickly get me to 2000, okay? Right? Just 2000 just from taking care of the dog, which is a requirement for me to do every single day. Okay, now we're already at 2000. That's before I've done any lifting. That's before I've done any running. That's before I've done any errands. On a day where I'm actually like doing my tempo run, let's take this Tempo Tuesday, for example. Routinely during marathon training, I was doing a 2 mile warm-up, a 10-mile tempo run, and a 2-mile cool down. That's 14 miles. Okay, so that's just the actual workouts, 14 miles. And let's say as a female my age, let's just say I burn, I don't know, 1,100 calories, 1,200 calories during that. Okay, now we're already at like 3,200. Okay, and that haven't even added in the lift that I did that day, because on the days that I do my hard running workouts, I also lift. So let's just say I lifted for 30 minutes. Let's say that was like 150 calories or something like that. And then let's say I have to get some groceries for the day or do a return and I'm like walking a mile there, a mile back, right? I don't know. Let's call that another like 150 calories. Now I'm already easily at 3,400 calories for that day. That's like a pretty standard day during marathon training. And that's not even counting like fidgeting and just like all these random times you're getting up and going to the bathroom. Those accumulate over the day. So I could easily be that day 3,500, 3,600. Now I'm not doing a 10-mile tempo run every day, but you get my point. Like, this stuff adds up. That if, imagine I was eating 2,000 calories. Imagine I would be emaciated. I would be so weak. Actually, I've done that before. The first marathon that I trained for, I was still trying to eat 2,000 calories a day. I just explained to you one day of marathon training. Now accumulate that over 16 weeks and imagine you're only trying to eat 2,000 calories a day. You're going to be so injured. You're going to be so low energy. You're going to have a horrible time. You're not going to be feeling strong in any of your runs. You're probably not going to be sleeping well. You're not going to be able to focus. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be absolutely miserable. But you're following the standard recommendation of 2,000 calories a day, but you're doing yourself a total disservice. I'm just speaking to myself. I'm saying you, but you know, me, you, whoever, like if you're trying to adhere to the 2,000 calorie diet while you're training for a marathon, point blank, you're doing yourself a disservice. Okay. Let's take a second example. Let's take that you should be minimizing your sodium intake. I've heard this for so long. I feel like when we were younger, it was like low sodium diet. There's a bunch of foods that are marketed as low sodium to, I guess, make them seem healthier, even though a lot of them are just so unhealthy for you, but I guess they're low sodium. So, and I'm not somebody who has any problems with blood pressure or just any issues, right? I'm just standard, normal, right? And so I don't require low sodium because of any health implications. Okay. As a runner, I was not eating enough sodium and I would constantly feel myself bonking at the end of my long runs. And actually what it was is I was getting a major, major headache when I started to get to the end of my long runs. Like if I ran over 10 miles, I would just get this pounding headache and it wouldn't go away for the rest of the day and I didn't know what to do. And I would feel so low energy, even though I would be very confused because I would know that I ate enough calories. I knew it wasn't the calories. I'm somebody who's always drank a lot of water and I still to this day drink at least a gallon of water a day. I know it's not the water. And if I'm running for 3 hours, like during marathon training, during my long runs, I'm obviously drinking like 2 gallons of water. But I knew that it wasn't the water because I was drinking enough water. And so I started to learn more about electrolytes. And I started taking Element, which has 1,000 milligrams of sodium. And that number scared me at first. I was like, oh my gosh, 1,000 milligrams. But then I started reading up and understanding how much sodium runners actually lose when they run. And listen, there's a scale. Some people are super salty sweaters. Some people are not salty sweaters. But bottom line is if you are running 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 plus miles a week, you need far more sodium than the standard American. And sodium is an electrolyte, right? Electrolytes have electrical charges. They help regulate the flow of water in and out of your cells. You actually cannot be hydrated if you do not have enough sodium. There's also other electrolytes like potassium, magnesium, calcium, fluoride. There's a bunch of others. But they all have electrical charges, and sodium and potassium are actually like the two counterbalances to each other. So like coconut water has a lot of potassium. So actually there's been studies on athletes that have drank too much coconut water and they're not hydrated because they have too much potassium and not enough sodium to balance it out. So anyway, just be careful about like when you're just what drinks are marketed as and what electrolytes they have in them. But all I do know is you do need more sodium as a runner than a standard American. And so if you're trying to reduce your sodium intake, you again are likely hurting yourself. That might be a reason that you feel lethargic. You feel not hydrated. You feel like you're thirsty, even though you're drinking so much water. You're not able to complete your workouts while you're getting a headache. Check your sodium, and you might need more sodium. Just try upping your sodium. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy. You don't have to purchase like electrolyte packets or anything like that. You can literally just put more salt in your food. When I come home from a run and I'm making dinner, I can always know like, oh my gosh, I'm so craving salt. And guess what? It's good for you. Put that in your food. Okay. So that's another example. Let's go to a third example, which is minimizing your sugar intake. And listen, I was just listening to a Huberman Lab podcast on sugars and highly processed foods. And there's genuinely so much bad shit out there, literally like shit. And it's not even food like that people are eating in the grocery stores that people are feeding to their kids. Again, it might come down to them not knowing that what they're eating or feeding their children or their family is not that healthy. Or it might just be marketing. Like honestly, a lot of things are marketed as healthy alternatives. But if you actually go and read the nutrition facts, they have like food dyes in them. They have a bunch of added sugar in them, but they're just kind of trying to mask it and market it as something that's way better for you. For example, I got these chips the other day and they were called like the Good Life or the Good Chips or something. And they were marketed as chips that were healthier for you. Yet I looked at the ingredients, literally the exact same as Pringles. They were not using avocado oil or olive oil. They were still using vegetable oil. It was like literally the exact same ingredients as Pringles, but yet the marketing on the can was marketing it as something that was a healthy alternative. So beware of marketing. Marketing is so powerful. We're all swayed by it. We want things that look good for us, that look beautiful, healthy, but that might not actually be reflected in the nutrition label. So definitely be aware of that. As a runner, you need copious amounts of glucose. Now, there are different types of sugars. Glucose, fructose, and sucrose are the main ones. Sucrose and high fructose corn syrup. So sucrose is like table sugar. That's like the crystallized sugar. High fructose corn syrup, it's obviously you're not buying that, but that's a liquefied version of sugar made from corn. And that's in a lot of food, honestly. I was going to say, oh, it's in a lot of sweet treats. It's literally in a lot of every food. It's super cheap. And the food industry uses it in bulk to make foods highly palatable. When foods are highly palatable, it means they taste really good. It means you want more of them, you crave more of them, and then you buy more of them. And the food industry is a business, so they need to turn a profit. So they need you to be a sticky customer. So they put a lot of sugar in the food. Okay? Not good. Fructose. Fructose is found in fruit, but it also obviously is manufactured. But fructose and glucose are typically the two sugars that are found in fruit. And fruit is good for you. Fruit is a natural sugar, okay? I'm not talking about fruit. I'm talking about processed sugars. Glucose is the simplest form of a carbohydrate. So glucose is also in things like carbs, breads, pastas, rices, potatoes, cereals, oatmeals, right? Like that is the primary source that runners use for fuel. It's the preferred source by your body for fuel. Actually, not just for running, for any type of exercise. It's the preferred molecule to break down into ATP, requires the least energy. And ATP is literally the molecule that provides all energy for all movement that athletes need to do. Now, there is a difference between having glucose and having sucrose and having fructose. There's a difference between those three things. But the bottom line is that runners need sugars. Glucose is obviously the preferred form, but I think that people can get a little too caught up in the fact that we're not supposed to have a certain amount of carbs or a certain amount of sugar in the standard American diet. But again, that is for people who are not moving around. Yes, if you're eating a bunch of sugar and then you're not moving at all, that's just going to get converted to adipose tissue, which is fat, right? Because it doesn't know where to go. You eat a bunch of carbohydrates and sugars, your insulin spikes to get that blood sugar back down because it doesn't want your blood sugar to be super high in your body. But then what happens is that insulin basically shuttles all of that sugar into your fat cells, right? And it's just going to get stored if you don't use it. However, if you are super active and you are training for marathons, you will be using that energy. You need that energy to move and to run. And so this is where like that whole concept of like trying to not eat a lot of sugar and carbs falls apart, because you will be doing yourself a disservice as a runner. And I was even listening to the Huberman Lab podcast again that I keep talking to on sugars right before I was listening to this. And I started thinking, oh, well, he's recommending that we don't really eat carbohydrates or like minimize our carbohydrates. But then I was thinking, that's not for marathon runners. And that's why even I have to catch myself like listening to a bunch of, I mean, it is medical advice and it is well-researched scientific research about how sugars and processed foods affect your body. And the bottom line is processed foods are just not good for you. But listen, we all consume them. It's just about being intentional about how much we consume, right? Like, this is the world we live in. We're not going to be perfect and we're not going to drive ourselves crazy. And especially over like a holiday break like this, I will be drinking all the red wine, right? Ethanol has no metabolic use in your body. It's literally poison, but guess what? I'm drinking it. Cookies, how much sugar is in there? How much sucrose is in there, right? Probably high fructose corn syrup is in there. Is it good for you? No, but will I be eating them all week? Yes, because this is not my standard routine. This is just one week of the year where I'm just purely enjoying my life, right? And so I think this is where people can get maybe too caught up and like, it's just not healthy. And so I always want to talk about everything in terms of balance. But when you are training for a marathon, you need a lot of carbohydrates. You need a lot of glucose specifically. And so when I go for a long run and I'm running 3 hours, I'm running 18 miles, let's say, during a long run of marathon training, I'm probably consuming 50 grams of sugar before I even have like a full proper breakfast before 11 a.m. And so that is healthy. Like that's what I needed to do in order to complete my run in a fueled way and in a way that I can finish strong and hit my paces, right? And so just to be careful about what you're listening to. And again, I always catch myself, there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of great information out there, but I think you just have to ask yourself, like, are they talking specifically about marathon runners, or is this just a general recommendation? And listen, there's a lot of things that are generally recommended that marathon runners should also be doing, like, right? Like, we should be eating whole fruits and vegetables. We should be eating high quality sources of protein, grass-fed beef. We should be consuming enough water, enough electrolytes. We should be, you know, just making sure we're getting outside, getting our sunlight, like kind of these standard things, but we can't get too caught up in numbers. I think that's the thing. It's like the numerical recommendations. Like, so maybe it's like, okay, well, you want to be eating enough carbs, enough protein, but the numerical recommendations that might apply to other groups of people might not apply to you while you're marathon training. You're not always going to be marathon training. So maybe when you're not marathon training, you kind of adhere to different dietary recommendations, right? But you just have to make sure that you're doing the best thing for your life at that moment. And you can't get too swayed by what other people are doing. When I go to restaurants, I'm routinely eating more than everyone else that's there. Actually, I went to a Nike running dinner before the marathon and I ate more than everyone that was there, and everyone was runners, okay? Like, there are people that were there that Nike sponsored athletes, Olympians, elite runners, and I was eating more than everyone that was around me. My body just needs a lot of food. My body's always needed a lot of food. And that's just how it is. And so you just have to do what's best for you and not get too caught up in the numbers and the nitty-gritty of what's being recommended. Take what works for you and leave what doesn't. Anyway, I'm sure there's so many other examples of things that are just recommended that don't really apply to runners and actually might be hurting your running performance. So just beware, be cautious, but as always, do what's best for you. And hopefully this episode resonated with some people. I know it resonated with people on Instagram, so hopefully expanding a little more on it was helpful to listen to. But I love you guys so much. I will speak to you soon. I need to figure out kind of what my plan is with the podcast and just come in with a little bit more of intentional of a strategy. But I love talking to you guys, so I will be back very soon. Do not worry at all. I hope everyone has a fantastic start to the new year, and I will talk to you guys very soon. Love you. Bye.